So we're ready for the next section.
All right.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works.
Ion, is John of Patmos trying to tell us something?
No.
Interesting. Yeah, because he didn't spread it around. It got spread around later by others.
Mm-hmm. But he's telling about the things to come.
But he was keeping it to himself. I think he told me months ago that he just meant it for like seven people or something.
Well, the seven churches.
Oh, yeah. So he did mean he was telling them something.
Right. Trying to get them so they didn't get crossed up and what was getting that would slow them down getting back to east of Eden.
Right. And so the ascended ones of his period would not have engaged in that letter writing.
No. They wouldn't, or read them or had anything to do with them because they wouldn't be so busy pleasing and delighting themselves, they wouldn't notice.
Right. So
they'd be in their own cult by then, huh?
And so this guy, John, is creating an issue, a contrast, a whole situation for himself.
He's just trying to lay it out here so that you can get it. If you don't got it, this is so you can get it. But if you got it, then if you have ears to hear, listen. If you don't, then you ain't going to hear it anyway, so it's all good. But the reference here that we want to bring up in the first of it, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Now that's different. The Son of God. Who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now, the feet of like fine brass references grounding. And the flame of fire, his eyes likened to a flame of fire, that would be, now, we're going to be extreme here, but this is the first point that's made into a place of that your eyes are like laser beams, that you can see more than is obvious, because he's referencing the Son of God. Now, you'd be the Son of God, too, if you're a human creator, and the capital Son would be one that is ascending. So, there'll be a point of fire. That's why we did deference with looking in the mirror with the eyes. If you use your eyes like a laser beam and look at your reflection, you may cut your ding-a-ling off if you're not careful. And if you are not grounded, just like an arc welder, it may become an electrifying experience. But that was that point that's trying to make reference. And then it goes on into Jezebel and then Hora Babylon and seducing the folks into these committing fornication and things that you've given away to the idols, don't eat, and all that kind of stuff. But that's what that's about. Now, Ed, what questions you got?
Well, it said that the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, so was there a problem with Jezebel, not because of her fornication, but really because she was a prophetess?
Right, exactly. And women prophetess didn't do very well.
And as a prophetess, was she in her power? Is that how she could prophesy?
Certainly.
But she could have kept it to herself and enjoyed herself rather than enter the public argument.
Right. Well, who says she didn't? They're writing about it, but you don't see her. You don't see the book of Jezebel in the Bible.
So they quoted her, but she wasn't around to validate it.
Well, yet she's to come.
Oh, okay, and she will show up.
Certainly.
And because she couldn't, she had to tell people something.
Well, she didn't. She wasn't trying to tell anybody something. She was just having fun. And they used this as a reference that that's inappropriate. And she didn't care or give a rip about what they thought about it. She's busy in her power. And if there was something that was sacrificed to the idols and she wanted to eat it, she didn't have no problem eating it herself. And they're saying, that's bad, bad, it's bad.
Well, is John of Patmos saying it's bad?
Yes, Bob.
What an idiot this guy is, Ed.
It's okay. He can't pay for it.
But again, he was trying to tell people the seven churches something. Did he have his act together so that he could? He didn't care whether they got it or not.
Oh, he tried to care, but it'll unfold. It's a good story.
Okay. All right.
But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay.
Why does he say, referring to Jezebel, I will kill her children with death?
Well, you can't kill them. You can't kill them with anything else, and there is no death. So that's the only threat. Jezebel didn't care, you see, because they're referencing this as a pagan religious idea. And if you don't see it as a pagan religious idea, then it won't come up, and then you won't have power.
When you say they are referencing, they is John of Patmos?
Yes. Well, John of Patmos is saying Jesus is saying this, but that's not the case. But it keeps on coming down if it gets better. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Now, what that reference is about is that this very letter to the churches, as this reference is done, that the church will be broken up.
Well,
and he that overcometh and keepeth my words until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's not the power you're looking for. That's authority. See how it's very clear, how it divides it? Power over the nations. Well, if you've got power, the last place you want to exercise is over a nation. But if you're talking about authority power, then, yeah, you can rule the nation. Rule the nation without any power, but they should have said authority.
So you're giving, I mean, John does this nonsense about the woman prophetess, but you're saying he's cool on some other points?
Well, he's saying that the church is going to be busted up into little bitty pieces.
And why would that happen? Does he have a reason why that's?
Well, Bob, it's happening now. The Catholic Church was one.
Yeah, but this is that. So he predicted what would come, but no, that's in the opposite direction. Nothing that comes after him is the direction the writing is pointing to. It's pointing back to Genesis.
Yes, Bob, but the point of the same churches that are busted up then are the same ones that are busted up now. John the Baptist was a Baptist.
Yeah, why?
He was a Catholic.
Okay, but what is the reason he sees that they will break up?
Because
his reason?
Because of this point of the differential between authority and power.
He understands the mistake they're making.
Yeah, And then it says, and he shall rule them. And this is, I will give power over the nations. And he says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So what he's saying is that if you don't figure out the difference between power and authority, you're going to be busted up into little bitty pieces.
And he's writing this in hiding in a cave.
Right, because the Greeks and the, everybody's got, he's on America's Most Wanted, and they want him out.
So he sees what's coming, the mistake they're making. How does that serve him?
Well, it doesn't serve him. That's the whole point. Why is he hiding? He's trying to tell him something, Bob.
Big mistake.
Okay. And then I will give him the morning star.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the newspaper?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just that way. Yes.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
That's the message to Sardis.
And the message is saying that I have not found thy works perfect before God.
That means you can't get it done and you can't get it wrong. Now, here's something very intriguing here. Did you notice? How does it begin? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. It converts here. Now the angel speaking. Not before have you heard angels speaking.
So this is an early beginning point. We've arrived somewheres.
The angels are now speaking.
Yeah, that's a...
And here's something else that you'll jump on, like a chicken on a June bug, is the seven spirits of God. And the seven stars.
Would the seven spirits of God be the seven realms of heaven?
Layers, levels, yes.
Yeah.
That's full-blown ascension. And then what he's talking about is you'll depart this ascension, and that's when it's a problem. The angel's saying you've got it. You've got the seven stars, and you've got the seven spirits of God. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. The name, before the name of death was, no one died. You named death, so therefore you art dead.
So be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. What does that refer to strengthen the things?
It says, finish it now, which remain that are ready to die. So that means if you want to die, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, they that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Why are the works not perfect?
Oh, well, that's easy. Complete. You can't get it done. Never get it wrong. But if you've named it as death and you're ready to die, because it's not perfect, then you can die. It's your exit strategy if you choose to engage it. Because remember, the angel's writing the letter to the church of Sardis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mo-headed sons of bitches, if you want to die, here's how to do it. You question your worthiness, then you're not worthy, and you need to go on and wither up and die. Get out of the way.
And that, is that the reference in the third verse then, when it says, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee?
Yep. Because there is no time, so you won't know what hour.
And just for the record, I'm looking at the text on a computer. Ed, I assume, is, are you looking at a computer in the text?
No.
You just know
we
the text.
We don't like your version.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're quoting what you know. It's in your mind's eye, so to speak.
We can do your version. We don't like it, but we can do it. But see, you get to real King James, and it gets a lot of oohs and ees and ahs and oohs and ahs, and then you really don't know what the hell you're listening to. So this is okay.
Right, but the point is, people might imagine that J.W., disguised as Ion, is looking at the text and reading it.
That would be only those that were engaging Marshall McLuhan would think that, Bob.
True.
Yeah.
The skeptics. Those looking for the technique of suspended judgment.
So that cult that won't have a cult. Yes. That's right.
Yeah, that's the cult of McLuhan would do that. Yeah. The McLuhanites, not McLuhan, but the McLuhanites would do that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because we're not after no cult. So if they're in that cult, they won't be engaged anyway. So it's all right.
Yeah, but you just said, which sounded like a tone, thoughts with those McLuhanites would do, which sound like a negative tone, but you saved yourself right now by saying, no, we didn't mean any negative intonation there.
We don't mean negative, but you're just saying if this isn't true and this isn't this and this that, well, if it's not, then why are you listening to us?
Oh, you're talking to me?
I'm not trying to tell you something.
You're trying to tell me something.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
What is the key of David?
Ah, finally. But you got to, don't get too far ahead of yourself now. Mm. Let's go a little bit before. Now, here we go. This is a little different. Now, this is to the Church of Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Now, wait a minute. Now, the angel isn't writing. They're writing this to the angel of the church in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
This is different still. So apparently, God is giving a message to the angel of the church of Philadelphia and says, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Now, what this point is about, what we've spoke about this many times, of what's bound on earth is bound in heaven, and what's bound in heaven is also bound on earth. Holy references the place, the differential between power and authority, and truth is individual, meaning what's true for you, Ed, may not be true for Bob. That's okay. But if it is true, then you and you activate or have the key of David. Now, David wasn't a very nice person, obviously, and he'd screw around and have the husbands killed so he could have their wives, a la Bathsheba and that kind of stuff. But it says quickly, or gonna say in Psalms, that David had the heart of God. David had the heart of God. No one up until from this point forward has the actual is after the very heart of God. That's the place of power. That's why it says right after that, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and vice versa. Now, you see, this is that key of the difference between holy authority and power. That's the difference. That's the key. And that if you have that key, you can bind it on earth and bind it in heaven. And that's being rhetorical, but that's the point. Okay, now what else? Oh, we won't wait on you. We got to do the
A. But Ion, I don't know if I got what you were talking about. What is the key of David in simple conclusion?
Okay, that if you know the difference between power and authority, they call that the key of David.
Oh, David, did he know the difference?
Well, absolutely.
And so it wasn't an issue that he would sacrifice friends for people's wives.
He came into his own power. Even though he did all that stuff, he was still known to be after the very heart of God.
How did they assess that was what he was doing? I mean, who decided he still was after the heart of God?
Well, I guess that'd be the judges of that day. Apparently, they had the ability to know what David knew.
And they decided that David was cool.
Known as one who was after the very heart of God.
And did he fool them?
No.
Or you say he did
not
do that?
He didn't fool them. He knew. And when you don't have to fool.
So he's like Jack Bauer. He could ignore the laws and get the case solved, you know, with very violent methods. He was like that.
See, this is pre-law here.
Pre-law, right. Okay, pre-law. Okay, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And this is David. This is David happening before. This is David happening, or just referring ahead to David?
It's ahead. It hadn't happened yet. That's what it says.
So the key, this is like the effects come before. The key of David is mentioned before David shows up.
Right. It's just to call the key of David. You don't know who David is.
Right.
And it says he, which is not referring to David, because it's capital H-E, if your version is any good. Is it? In verse 7, is he capital? H-E capital.
No, it's not. It's lowercase.
Should be.
Okay.
Whereas the small he in the first verse of chapter 1 was meant to be small. That was accurate.
Right. That's exactly correct. Because see, the he that openeth and no man shutteth, that's the reference that would say, when David gets around, that'll be the key of David that they're speaking of now. Okay, in verse, I guess would be after that, would be, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now your reference from there would be 1 Corinthians,
16:9. And then the reference here of an open door, that would be a portal. Also referenced as a gate. And that also comes back to the key of David, because now before thee an open door.
Right, so this is getting like the Emerald Tablets, talking about parallel world traveling and that, and yeah. The key of David, technically the word key does refer to a legend used to get back.
Yeah, right.
Therefore you would use the word, you'd have portals and gates discussed near that phrase.
Yes, and now since it's an open portal, because remember this is in the first book, when everything was open, this was before everything got shut.
Right.
Now they're back to open again. Okay, you're heading toward Genesis.
And when it's open, you still need a key to get back.
Yes.
Okay. It's not really easy. You got to be careful still.
Yeah, it can be. Yes, it can be. If you don't make it be all ruling,
right.
It doesn't have to be hard. That's why we've noticed to mention it, because it's just a matter of, like, people see 11:11 and then they see it all over the place. Well, when you see that, that's where your in and out places are. When you get over there and you see 11:11, that's your in and out place. So it ain't no big deal.
This is being written for the little men, the little women, because they're stupid enough to read. They've lost their power. So we have to work. We have to tell you something, because you're still subject to believing and being told something. This is not for those that are ascended.
Right, of course.
Right, so you would need the key of David, but if you are not ascended and you don't have your power, you will have to heed what we're telling you.
Well, or not, and see how that works for you.
Yeah.
Okay, then should we go to verse 10?
All right, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Kept the word of my patience. And I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come into all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's specifically tactility. Okay, that's tactility. And it also is the duality.
Is the duality the temptation?
No. The hour of temptation is that there's no time.
Ah.
Keep from time, which shall come upon all the world. So time is apparently coming to all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So here, verse 10 is telling you plain that humans created time, and to the angel from to Philadelphia, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So I'll keep you from time, but you won't have time. But then time which will come unto all the world, and the reason that it's coming is to try them that dwell upon the earth. So what this angel is saying is that we're going to screw with time, and we're going to screw you with time unless you've got the key of David, you've gotten these different points up until now, and since you'll be kept from the hour of temptation, from the hour, then that's what's coming to everybody else that dwells on the earth, that embraces, quote, time.
Yeah, that's what's striking about this, is we've gone through the Emerald Tablets. This is literally the Emerald Tablets. Very close. It's just a replay.
Yeah.
And the Emerald Tablets were the first to write these kind of suggestions and advice and predictions. This is a replay of the archetype of the Emerald Tablets.
Wow, and can we had a cult.
Yeah. Now, would we see this in Buddhist literature also?
You would. You absolutely would.
And we would see it in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
All the great religious texts are replays of the Emerald Tablet.
And in Jezebel's coochie, she was very. She had a great propensity to vajazzle herself.
Right. So the See, that's what's interesting to me, Ed, about this is we're doing the Emerald Tablets here, and we could take any great religious text, and it's a replay of the Emerald Tablets. Mm-hmm. That's if you accept Dion's interpretation here.
All right. Well, oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you can take the Word of God from that you're reading from, that we got it right, but it's the author of the Word of God that got it wrong. If you can take that this was an angel to Philadelphia, that's right, Bob. Now, in verse 11, mm-hmm. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So apparently, you want it once you make it to the coronation and you've got the key of David and you've gotten rid of time, be careful and don't let somebody try to put crown or cram time down your throat hole so another man can take your crown. That'd be referenced in Philippians 4:5, Philippians 2:25, and then back up through 2:10 in Philippians.
Well, which is not the book we're doing. Not the book we're doing now.
No, that's just a reference in case the intelligent ones that hear this can look up those other references to get another reference from that point.
Yes. Right. So. It's almost like if you're an ascended being and you're a master, capital M man or W woman, if you had one, you leave a last will and testament. Before I disappear, it's like the Leonard Cohen song, before I turn to gold, let me tell my story. The Emerald Tablets was someone on the way being ascended and left a document which the ascended person knew would confuse everybody and actually be a limitation, but he thought he'd give him a hint. It's a letter. It's a leftover. It's a suicide note, so to speak. A social suicide note. I ain't going to be around. I'll be enjoying myself, but you won't hear from me. But by the way, here's how I got there. Mm-hmm. Decipher that text. It's you know what I mean. It's a cast off mm-hmm. letter from someone who.
Better. Oh, it gets better now, Bob. Okay, him good. That overcometh. That means him that got all this other stuff up through Philadelphia. Okay, him that overcometh. Will I make a pharmacist in the apothecary of my God? Oh, wait. I think it's a pillar in the temple of God. But aren't pharmacists the pillar of society?
Today they are, yeah.
Yeah, pillar. You get it, Ed?
Yeah, pillars.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
They're just
and
pills.
He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him, what? The name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. See, so now you're a pillar in the temple of God. Well, the temple of God is you. So you become a main support structure in your temple. That you will no longer go out. You won't go out of your power. And then he'll give you a new name. And you'll give you a new name. And your new name will be the name of God. And the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem. Okay. And where does this come from, Ed? It comes down from heaven from my God. Now, that reference would be 1 Kings 7:21 and also 14, verse 1. And Hebrews, Bob, you'll love this one, 12:22 and Hebrews 22, verse 4.
What is the significance of a new Jerusalem?
Ah, very good. Everybody talks about the New Age movement. Well, here you go in the first book of the Bible, they start talking about the New Age. That's sort of old school, don't you think?
Yeah.
They never reference the old Jerusalem, but they start right out of the chute talking about the New Jerusalem, and there ain't even a Jerusalem. There wasn't even a Jerusalem then. then, that's another point of proof, Bob. Where was Jerusalem for the new Jerusalem?
Well, yeah, if you believe in your sense of direction of Charlie, who is this guy we're talking about? Johnny. Yeah, when Johnny writes this, that he hadn't heard of Jerusalem or anything or never existed. What's interesting, Ion, I was just thinking about noticing that the effect of hearing you analyze the sacred literature, you know, kind of makes it seem a bunch of Kleenex. So therefore, it empowers us. It gets us re-detached from it. It makes us hear this bizarre, unique interpretation, which it could empower us if we take it seriously, and it does. You're putting up you're killing the Bible by doing that.
No, we're not. No, we're not. No. Not at all, Bob. Not at all. What it does is it allows you for the very first time of one coming into your place of power to get what it is that's actually being conveyed.
No, that's what I was saying. You're revealing what the Bible is saying, and therefore once we get it, it's no longer a conundrum. I don't have to read it again. I got it.
Then you don't have to think about it because you know.
Yeah, and that's the empowering thing. That's what I mean by killing it. It does not hold you in confusion, or you wonder, well, maybe there's something in there, or I never got it, or I think it's this. It's about whatever Christians say today it's about. And you say, nah, that doesn't make it. That's probably not what it's about. So you clear it up, complete it, and then you move into a new zone, which is like the cup empties.
That's exactly right. And that'll be the proof when you know it. And you won't have to prove that to any other human creator, because once you know it, then you'll know it. Okay. Now, the next church ought to be great fun. Those Laodiceans.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, Ed, you ought to be tearing this one up now.
Wow, well, what is this first verse saying? These things saith the Amen.
And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Bob, the beginning of the creation of God. That's
right.
So
that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now.
That's we are the beginning of the creation of God. Now, Bob, these aren't our words. These are Johnny's words.
Yeah.
Okay. The beginning, and that's reference future is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15.
But this is the beginning of the creation of us?
Of God, yes.
Of the human. So that we've been going through a phase before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got an order. This is the message to the Laodiceans.
the beginning of the creation. Oh, he's just saying, well, we're going to help make you gods. It doesn't mean in the evolution of creation.
Yes, it does. It's the beginning of the creation of God. It's in the beginning was God. Okay, that's what they say at the end, which is in Genesis. Well, here it is in the beginning, saying this is the first story of the creation of God. And here we go. It deals with duality, Bob. When you become the creation of God, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I wish you was one way or the other. I wish you was cold or I wish you was hot, one way or the other. So then, because thou art lukewarm, tepid, barely warm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Once you come into your power, you're either hot or you're cold. You're not lukewarm. You will vomit when you start crossing the streams, when you start crossing your place of power. You will vomit. Now, you got to get it qualified here. The qualification here is not the deference. The issue is that you can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other. Now, that's still duality, but one is included and one is eliminated. That's the point, and that's the clearing up. And you kept asking, well, how do you get there? Once you get to this place where once you got it and you're the beginning of the creation of God, there's no more middle of the damn road. You're either on or you're off. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either up or you're down, one way or the other. And if you're going to run down the middle and constantly undo the things that you're getting, then you finally will just continually vomit yourself from your place of power that you've just achieved in the beginning of the creation of God.
Are you saying that in the duality of the hot, cool, cold, you have to take one side or the other?
Well, no, but you can't be lukewarm. If it's
you have to be on both sides. If you
at least, but not together, not mixed.
Yeah.
Not tepid. Not barely warm. Either be cold, be good at it. Either be hot, be good at it. Or you can have hot and cold, but not at the same time. But now that's only if you're interested in this ascension process of being God.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not interested in that, then just keep tearing it up on the weekend. It'll serve you well. No problem. Okay? Now, because thou sayest, and get this now, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not, now we've dealt with this, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, knowest not. That it didn't say thinketh not. It said, knowest not. And that reference that you get all back through there would be in Hosea. We just love Hosea. Remember Gomer, and if you'll take the harlot back as your wife, I'll take Israel back as my people. Hosea 12:8. And then you got Zechariah 11:5. And then it gives another reference all the way up into Matthew 5:3. That'd bring you up close to the Sermon on the Mount. Okay. Now here we go.
You're saying there's an echo in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, of Matthew 5:3.
Right.
Okay. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, do you remember we talked about the eyeballs before? Well, now it's saying that once you get in this place of creation, that you should anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see. Not that you saw, but apparently in this point of creation, once you get all this stuff worked out, then you find out you was blind all along because of them lying eyes that you'd been nursing and mollycoddling all through this process, and that you was running around naked buying haute couture designer clothes when you didn't realize that that didn't have anything to do with anything anyway. And then there was no shame of your nakedness, and it didn't appear. That's where the cares of life start growing strangely, strangely dim. Good. And it cleans up all that I'm not worthy and incredulity in your place of power. It settles it. And you don't have to prove it to anybody else. And if you don't give a crap if anybody else knows it or not. But if you're still blind and can't see, it's telling you, get you some eye salve. Spit in the dirt, make an eye salve out of the spittle, and smear it on your eyes so that you can see. Okay? All right, you want some more?
Yes.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and would like to join my cult and open the door, I will come in to him. Uh-oh. I will come and take over his body and run him crazy with McLuhan-esque terms of incredulity. And I will sup with him and he with me. Now, hear that now? We might have added a little bit there. Let me speak here again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's what non-physical does. Non-physical stands at the door and knocks. If any man hear my voice, the voice of non-physical, open the door, I will come in to him. Now, he's given a reference of like coming into your house, but then they make reference of the temple as you begin this beginning creation place of being called God. Then that non-physical comes into him physically. He's already in him, but see, this is the first book. They're still trying to get you in the notion that this is the way it can go. And will sup with him. Now, it doesn't mean eat supper. That means provide supplication with him and he with me. This is the first time that you've had an integral reference of what the point is of coming into your power, that the human creator interacts with non-physical and non-physical interacts with the human. Now, Bob, are you saying that we're saying that once that engagement takes place, that non-physical then can create?
Yeah.
Well, we are too. Yeah. When the metamorphic experience starts taking place and it becomes a homogeneous environment, that the physical and non-physical, it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind, and you come into your place of power, that's exactly what it is. And when that comes in, then you won't be able to tell the difference between physical and non-physical. They'll be one. Well, they really already are. But you'll acknowledge them as one. Once you get these little wordy words down, to settle it and get one way or the other, either way, it doesn't make any difference to us, but not middle of the ground, one way or the other. Because if you straddle a fence long enough, you will find yourself testicularly challenged sooner or later. Okay, and to him that overcometh, is that like overlayeth, or is that a multi-comer, or an extreme comer, maybe that's it. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my what? Throne. That has to do with a coronation, don't you guess? Even as I also overcame, past tense, and am set down with my Father in his throne. That reference is thorough in Matthew 19:28. Now, surely you got a question out of some of that.
Well, I think you made it perfectly clear. I would have an observation.
Well, actually,
though,
Johnny did good. He did good. He just kind of did it the way he laid it out. And everybody has a problem with it, and we're like, well, what's hard about this?
And so would Bob say that verse 20, John the Divine foretold the appearance of Ion?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. and actually in larger dynamic, the essence of us, which is non-physical, which is already in you, and bringing you into the light in the first book to let you know that you have access to this power. And once you have access to this power, then you know. And it's also, it's kind of like having a girlfriend with benefits. Y'all can suck on each other. Or no, wait a minute, sorry, sup on each other. That's how it goes. And that interaction is delicious. It's delicious. And it really opens up the dynamic of a lover who loves. Now, there's much reference made to force fields and those companion components that come into play here, but they're not, they don't cram it down your throat. That some of it is you will achieve and come into that place once you get it layer by layer, line upon line, precept upon precept. But now, Ed, granted, some people get this like a bolt of lightning. There are those that have interaction with us, and they get it, and 15 or 20 minutes later, they're seizing and numb and falling out and all this kind of stuff and got nothing else to say. They got it. Just because it's such an euphoric, blissful experience that it's like shocking for them. Literally, like your toe in the light socket, shocking. But there are others who get it little by little by little by little by little. And that's okay. Not a problem. Either way, some by fire. You know, some is like on the Emmaus Road, where it's a long, slow stroll, walking with the Savior, figuring it out. But some get it like Paul on the Damascus Road and get blinded by the light. Blinded by the light. Oh, wait, that's another song, isn't it? But same meaning. So if you're going into the next section, now you're going to go into the throne of God, which is a full different reference and conversation, of course. Now you're going to go into, you've gotten through the throne, you're fixing to come into the throne of God.
So, well, Ed, are we going to continue going through the whole Bible or just give a taste? We've given a taste of how you can look at it. Ion did say, well, wait till we get to the good part. Well,
yeah.
Why don't you just go a bit about, let's just jump ahead and give us an outline. Without going to, we've shown the depth of the scripture.
Well, that's
let's
not how it what, works. You know, would you go to a movie and say, you know what, I'm good with this first 10 minutes. I don't need to sit here for the rest of the, you know, or with 24. Would you say in the first chapter, you know what, why don't we just skip down to chapter 8.
Yeah, let's get to the point here.
Allison Taylor says, Jack, you got 5 minutes to get out of the country, and we know where you are, and I'm turning myself in, and thanks for the fish. That's it.
I've scanned through movies. Let's just scan through this movie and get the quick highlights.
Okay, here we go. You'll go into the throne of God, and the next round you'll go into the sealed books. And then after that you'll go to the prophecies of tribulation, and then you'll break it down into seals. You'll have the seven seals of judgments, which are the layers of heaven. You'll have the first through the sixth seal. Then you'll go into the 144,000. Then you'll go into the multitude of the Gentiles, which you'll pick up in, oh, I guess about chapter 7. Then you'll find the grand seventh seal, the level. Then you go back to the trumpets of judgment. You'll go through the six trumpets. Those are the degrees of separations that they'll blow. Then you'll get to the little book. Then you'll get down to the two witnesses. That's your duality. And then you'll have in the seventh marvelous trumpet of God. And then once that trumpet blows, then you'll have the prophecies that will be explained. That'll pick up about verse 12. Then you'll go into the woman, then you'll go into the war in heaven, then you'll go into the war on earth, then you'll go to the beast out of the sea, you'll go into the beast out of the earth, and then you'll come back and reference that prophecy to the 144,000. Then you're going to have the three angels and the three announcements. And then you'll come into the harvest time called the harvest judgment. And then you'll move into the vials, the seven vials of judgment. You'll have a preparation for the vial. You'll have the first seven vials. that are laid out. This has to do with the seals, which goes back to your beginning place, and that'll get you through about chapter 16 or so, 16, 17. Then you're going to go the overthrow of the great harlot, which comes all the way back to Jezebel and that reference and inference there from Gomer and Hosea. Then you'll go into the great harlot described. The great harlot is destroyed. Then you're going to come into the overthrow of Babylon, the great overthrow of Babylon. Then you'll have Babylon is destroyed. That's the old archetype, the old android meme. When it'll finally, Bob's bastard babies will finally be done away with eternally forever. Oh, won't it be wonderful then? We won't have a propensity to sin. Then the earth will bewail Babylon's destruction. All of them will sit and cry and wane. Oh, we miss Bob's bastard babies. Oh, if we could just bring the babies back, that'd be amazing. Then heaven's going to rejoice at Bob's bastard babies, Babylon's destruction. Oh, and the angels are going to sing that the best ding dong, the bastard's dead, Bob's bastard from the west. Ding dong, the bastards are dead. And then you'll get, that'll get you through 18. Then you'll move on into the prophecies of the second coming. And that's from the first coming. That's counting that that God was here, so now God's got to come back again from this. So then you'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That'll get you into 19. Then you'll have the second coming of Christ from the beginning in 19. Then you'll have the prophecies of the millennium. Oh, it's the reference back of time. Then Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Then the saints will reign for 1,000 years. Is that the New Orleans Saints? Maybe, maybe not. Time will tell. Then Satan is loosed and leads the rebellion against the New Orleans Saints. Oh, wait, that's kind of going on since Katrina. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Then Satan will be tormented forever. That power that separated the lukewarm will be vomit. That's who you'll be vomiting on is that place. Then you'll move into the great white throne of judgment, and that'll get you all the way up through probably about verse or chapter 20. Then you're going to have the prophecies of the eternal state, where a new heaven and a new earth is created. And then the new Jerusalem will descend. That's where the heavens on earth as it is in heaven, as we've heard before. Then you'll have a complete full description of the New Jerusalem described, and then you'll come into the conclusion, and that's pretty much it. Okay, we can go to the beach now.
Yeah, because in the exegesis of all that, we went through the details, we wouldn't find one thought in the Bible that wasn't expressed by Ion in all the 2,600 hours we've done over the past year.
So what are you saying?
You've repeated those the themes that we would find in there. You have said them.
Yeah.
But you didn't get them then, so it's fun to have the chance to get them now. And sometimes by laying it out in a different light, you'll have different folks that have a different intriguing interest where this isn't your thing specifically. But yeah.
It's intriguing because you're playing with it to the point and going, wow, well, this is interesting. They got it that way and how, you see, to link it up. And if we are non-physical, and if this is coming, and if there's a veil, and if you can be God, and if you can have your place of power, and if he wasn't smoking Lebanese hash Johnny in the Isle of Patmos, and if this wasn't some underlying surreptitious thing trying to cram it down your throat hole, but if this is just the ancient Samaritan Hebrewoids trying to run you down the
rabbit hole,
Rayland
rumor mills
that if this isn't some application of something else, that you might get something good out of it. Well, that's all up to you, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting. You could I find it more enjoyable in retrospect to have watched the 24 series, 192 episodes. And compared to going through the dull print,
you couldn't get it all in the first two, three.
I got it. I watched how much it repeated, just like the Bible repeating. So but it's more interesting watching it that way than looking at the patina of the Bible, it seems to seem old and boring, the analyzing the Bible stuff. No, you know, I mean...
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
It's the same message. Same message.
Oh, my.
But it's not Technicolor.
Oh, my.
Well,
oh my.
We hope we...
Oh, my. What's the problem? What's wrong with you guys here? Oh,
for
my
so
God.
Much more.
No. I'm just thinking... I'm talking about why people... there are a lot of people who read the Bible, but... There are a lot of people who don't want to go near it because it has a musty odor around it. So they'll get the message, well, from Lost.
Well, that's big. But now, wait a second.
All of that's changed tonight.
That's
those
right.
who wouldn't go toward it now are going. Now it's going to be the best read book again on the top seller list of the New York Times.
And it would come back into a place to where it very clearly. We'll start giving some answers that everyone who studied it that hadn't got any answers now can get answers, and they can start applying it to their place of power and get what Johnny was trying to convey, and not from some dogma of less thanness, but how it's an individual place. He wasn't in no big church when he wrote this, Bob. He was all right by himself.
Oh, I know.
Cave. He had. So... And just because he didn't necessarily get it doesn't mean that other individual humans can't. And by opening up this overlaying from the beginning place, because if you get this, you can get these different dynamics, it becomes a very euphoric way to vindicate and validate your place of knowing. And then you can know that you know.
Right, so let's maybe wrap up by you going into the chapter 23 that got left out.
No. Get that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I thought we just wrapped it up.
Chapter 23. Allison Taylor turns herself in and tells Jack Bauer that he's got 5 minutes to get out of the country. Okay, that's chapter 23.
Now, remember when you hadn't seen the final versions of 24, you would... absolutely scream at Ion if he tried to tell you what was coming before. And yet, for our listeners tonight, you want them to hear the final version before we get there.
Yeah, well, I have heard. I've had many hours about this with Ion, so I've heard all this stuff.
Well, what
before,
about the rest of the listeners, Bob? Is there anyone in this goddamn earth besides you?
No problem.
Is there anyone on this earth
you my
besides you, Bob?
I'm just finding it interesting looking at the effects of it, that saying, well, this is why is it more interesting to watch a TV show than go with this? And then I'm looking at how people don't read the Bible, you know, that they're engaged in new media. And that's more fascinating to them. They're still going to, there's only one or two messages to get, so
let's be
pick
honest,
your medium.
You do not find this conversation interesting about the Bible.
Oh, no, I find it interesting. Of course I find it interesting. I helped make this possible. Yeah, I find it interesting, but I'm also living in all time, so I'm speculating on the other phases that as I respond to this. Yeah, you know,
okay.
I'm not just... there's like four Bobs in this room, Ed. There's four guys sitting here. There's different Bobs talking.
We can convince the Bobs that maybe we finish Revelation, and we don't have to finish it tonight, but we finish Revelation, and then we'll see what the repose is, and if the repose is nobody can stand it, then go from there, and then if two or three actually can stomach it, then it might be something that you'd want to play with.
Hey, I just got an idea. Why don't we, this is all a teaser, a lost leader. You want more? $100. $100 an hour. Why don't we charge for this stuff?
Well, yeah.
Then we'll find out whether
reason.
People, you what? There'll be two people who buy it. Then nobody will, they'll want to get it for free, but not if it's not free. So we're charging for the rest. Ed, we're giving you a teaser. Now, the rest is going to cost money, and I'll check with Carolyn. She'll fucking back me up on that one. Because this is very important, Ed. It's very important what we just did.
It is. And it's good, and they can get a good taste of it through the first section of the beginning of it. And it's exactly appropriate, and make it put that out and have everybody. And if you're interested in more, then contact Bob, and we'll continue right along and finish it. Or, hey, maybe it'd be better, Bob, if we made it into a movie, because people like that way to flow it. and we can, it'll be pretty voluminous casting, but we can get somebody in a cave and have them writing the story and telling the story and have good graphics. And oh, maybe Mr. Cameron can do some pretty deep. No, Pixar. We'll get Pixar. They have the great deep gobbly folks. And have them running around trying to figure out what the different churches and figuring the seals and the
that'd be great. I'm all for that.
Apocalypse. Then we can do it. And then if we do that, then we're going to tell you how it all ends. And then you go, don't be telling none of that. I ain't seen that part yet.
That's right.
Tell me that Chloe's not going to make it. I'm not going to have that. So.
Yeah, I want to ask Chloe O'Brien from Jack Bauerland. I want to thank Ed for helping us write our screen treatment, our proposal for Mr. Geffen and Spielberg and Cameron, and the whole gang of them that are going to hear this and say, man, we want to make that movie.
That's it.
And Ed will be left dangling. Ed will be down at the bar. I started that. I initiated that topic. And look, what did I get? I got nothing. I got a reunion. The best I got is a bunch of early victims of ION reuniting in September 22nd, 2000. That's all I got out of this. Bob and I made millions.
Bob, Ed said it best in the beginning. I post. And that's appropriate because it's fun because it's providing content for the human creators who may not even know that they're interested in this, what you're presenting.
Yeah.
See, so it is very significant because we appreciate more than you know, Ed, how you have embraced this. And now watch as the human creators have constantly increased and are very intrigued with this ray of hope in an otherwise salacious, screwed up, best you're going to get is rectally probed world that the humans are creating, that they can have a chance to have a place of joy. So the message of hope in the place of power, not authority, but the place of power, is absolutely delicious. It's absolutely euphoric, refreshing. It's the humans can participate at a level, and they can make it their very own. And if they can do that, that's what we came forth for in the first place. So it's a good day.
Now that's something that should be told. Well, there you have it, Ed. Congratulations for creating another tremendous million clicks desirous of this fact.
Oh, and we are jazzed, Ed. We are thrilled. This is way fun. It's more fun than... Now, we love Miss Cannon. She's got the sweetest face. Oh, we just love Dolores Cannon. She's sweet as she can be. But, see, it's so much more fun dealing with something that can have some girth to it that you can apply if you're engaged to, you see. If you're engaged to it, then that's fine. Rather than having to undo things, this is trying to get it out right the first time. So it's good, Bob. Hey, Bob, if you behave yourself, maybe you can get on Project Camelot.
I've been snipping at them already. I just can't wait till Carrie shows up. And she thinks we're X-raying her buddies, Bill Deagle Hoagland and Alan McCormick. Will I me personally X-ray her and her colleague? Oh, will she survive that laser beam?
Well, she may not. She may be so happy pleasing and delighting herself, she don't notice.
That's right, and me too.
So either way, it's all good, because it's all good. It's great, wonderful content, because look at your audience has been greatly increased just because of her work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So very delicious.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Ian.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
Therefore, we are eternally, completely, forever, deliciously, a great supporter of Flipper.